Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. I'm starting to think there's something wrong with my daughter. Can I just share that with you before we get into the lesson? Have you ever seen somebody that, you know, when there's a five-minute break, they mill around for the 5 minutes and then they go to the bathroom and the break's over? Or, you know, when the lesson's about to start, that's when she starts walking around? Have you ever seen that? I think there may be some wiring that needs to be reversed or something like that. Would you pray for me, people? Amen. Would you pray for my daughter? Welcome to our celebration of the most important moment in divine history, the resurrection from the dead of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks for choosing to be here as we communicate about this joyous event. John chapter 19, verse 30 says this, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine on the cross, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his human spirit into the hands of God the Father." So ended the Lord's salvation work at the cross. Then after 3 full days in the ground, according to Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, which says, "Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, be 3 full days and 3 full nights in the heart of the earth," the grave. So what happened after that? The Lord's resurrection from the dead. And we understand now that Good Friday is a counterfeit because there are not 3 full days between Friday and Sunday. The crucifixion actually happened on a Wednesday and gives 3 full days. Not that, you know, oh, wow, now I have that knowledge, I'm saved. But just understand that everything that is biblical is counterfeited in the kingdom of death, which we live in. Now, the Lord's death on a cross was a shock for his apostles and his disciples, even though it should not have been, because he predicted it and revealed it to them on the Tuesday night before it happened. It was a miserable time, though, for the Lord's disciples. Their hearts were filled with grief as they watched the Lord being mutilated at the cross, all the time wondering about what is next, and the wondering about if he truly was the Son of God, as he said, even though they had been following him around for 3 years personally, witnessing miracle after miracle after miracle, they still had their doubts, as all of us do as human beings. Would he really rise from the dead on the 3rd day as he had said? Because he made another promise on the Tuesday night before he went to the cross. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 7, he said, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go away, and I am, I will send God the Holy Spirit to you. And when God the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears from me, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." God the Holy Spirit is our mentor, our teacher, our guide, our leader, who shows us how to live the life that God the Father planned for us in eternity past. And so 3 full days have passed, and the Lord's female disciples were the first on the scene at the grave. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath," which was a Saturday, the Sabbath in the Jewish calendar at that time, and even today, is Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. So after the Sabbath, and as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which was Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Now, Mary Magdalene is the prostitute who was indwelled by 7 demons. And she was so popular that they named her after a town. They call her Mary Magdalene, but she's there actually Mary of Magdala, which is an area around Jerusalem. And so Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, Matthew 28, 2. "And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it." Now, one of the big worries that the Roman government had and the people who crucified Jesus Christ had was that he had predicted that he would rise on the 3rd day. And so they stationed guards at the grave to make sure that the disciples and apostles wouldn't come over. They had this humongous stone which no one person could even move. And they had it so that they wouldn't be able to come steal the body away and say, hey, see, empty grave, he's risen. And they parked guards there. And those guards guarded that tomb with their lives. If they allowed the Lord to escape or anybody to go in and steal the body, they would be killed. And so, believe me, the people that were put there were very serious guards. And so a severe earthquake occurred, which would move that stone, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it, Matthew 28:3. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men, catatonic. Sort of like you guys are right after you drink those Slurpees, you know what I mean? So the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. But he is not here, for he has risen from the dead just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Well, welcome to this resurrection celebration. So we're going to begin with a song. The song is called Celebrate Jesus. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to sing along with us. We're going to celebrate with these women in song. And you can stand and celebrate with us. Now, you can sing if you like. You can clap if you like. You can do nothing if you like. The words are going to be provided on the screen, but the song is really easy. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. So you will pick it up. It goes through the whole cadence two times. It's a very exciting song. So please, not like this. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. You know what I mean? So let just all that in exuberance that you have in there, just let it out. Nobody's looking at you. They're not going to see you spitting a little bit when you sing any of that. All right? So hit it, Denny. right, and then I'm going to run up like one of those mega church guys. Hey, thank you, huh? Hey, let's hear it for the pastor, huh? Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I used to be really insulted that you guys don't clap real loud for me. And, you know, you clap a lot louder for June than you do for me. I used to be insulted by that. But I swear to God, you guys haven't got a lick of rhythm. Celebrate Jesus. So, look, here's Mike back there. Oh, man. That's almost painful, honest to God. That's painful. Could you pray for my daughter? She ain't got no soul. Amen. Here's her. You know, she does that, what's that movie, Hitch? Just keep it right here. Come on. This is a resurrection day. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. Let us pray. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for making the difference clear. Thank you for making the difference clear. In religion, a man is always at the head of it. Not so in Christianity, where God is at the head. And the God we worship is the triune Godhead, one God with three separate and distinct persons, you, Father, your Son, the Lord, your Holy Spirit, and the unique person of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is 100% God and 100% man in one person forever. He is the physical manifestation of the Godhead. And today we celebrate his resurrection from the dead. Father, help all mankind to realize this difference, the difference that makes it clear to all that Jesus is every bit the same in essence as you, Father, especially in his deity. And he is worthy of note, not only because he is God, but because in his true humanity, only Jesus Christ and no one else has been resurrected from the dead. Help this difference make a difference concerning whom we worship, and let us all worship the Creator who is blessed forever rather than the creature. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, on what foundation does your life rest? On what foundation does your life rest? What is it for you? Money? That's what it was for my mom. Money was her security. You know, she didn't have any. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, self, family, substances, children, cars, electronic devices, things. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 to 27 have a suggestion about your foundation. Therefore, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Matthew 7:26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Matthew 7:27, the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus Christ is the rock. You can build your life on the foundation of the rock, or you can build your life on the sand. Clearly there are two choices. The rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, or a foundation of sand. Satan, the enemy of God, would prefer that you believe that all roads lead to God. Clearly not true. One road leads to God, the rock. All other roads lead to destruction. And today, we celebrate the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ's road leads to resurrection. So first, a few announcements before we get into today's message. So, reminder to check in on Facebook at the beginning of church service. And reminder to get your friends to like Barah Ministries on Facebook. We have over 3,100 people who have signed up to be a part of our online community. And we encourage you to get your friends to sign up. Our second 10-minute lesson posted to the Facebook community last week. It was called God Loves You. and it got over 4,500 views. Bring your friends to the Barah Ministries Facebook page today. So the first lesson, I think, got 3,600 views. This got 4,500 views. It's just mind-boggling what the internet can allow a ministry to do. And to get that much exposure for these messages, I mean, maybe our Sunday lesson should be 10 minutes, too. Maybe we get 4,500 people in there. Yeah. But yeah, no, I know you are. But I forgot to mention you. I mean, you turned the whole thing into a Pentecostal church just now, right? Because you were dancing, waving. That's awesome. June definitely has soul. She definitely does. And some rhythm. Yes, she does. Mark your calendars. The next deacon's meeting is April 11th. Of course, there was supposed to be one yesterday, but Pastor Rory was so engrossed in his lesson that he didn't look at the calendar and completely forgot. So sorry about that, guys. Larry, you're next, because Denny's got one, I got one, so, you know, you're the next one. Just take your turn. The next Lord's Supper celebration is next week, April 12th. On April 19th, we will visit the vets at 1:45 p.m. No face-to-face teaching on May 3rd, 2015. No face-to-face teaching on July 5th, 2015, so keep those dates in mind. The Coeur d'Alene Conference at Coeur d'Alene, Idaho will be August 7th and 8th. Start saving your ducats, and I'm sure we'll be getting some information right soon about where we're going to have it and what the rates are going to be at the hotel. But you could start looking into flights. Barah Ministries will be back on radio coming soon at KXEG, 1280 AM at 9:30 AM on Sunday morning, so we'll let you know more about that as it comes up. Couple of happy birthdays to Heather Conway and our non-resident congregation out in Kansas. Toto, too. And to Trey Desmet. When was his birthday this week? It was March 30th? Okay. So happy birthday, Trey. And get some new glasses, dog. Yeah, give him a hand. Trey, you got to get rid of those glasses with the tape. I'm just telling you that right now. You're going to get beat up a lot if you keep doing that. And don't forget that Monday, April 13th, is your pastor's birthday, and that I asked for a birthday present next week, and that's a full house. So I would like to see if you will fulfill my wish. Manny, what's up? How are you, man? Good to have you in the house. All right, so those are our announcements. The next part of our service is the offering. And Deacon Denny Goodall is going to come take the offering. Guests, this does not apply to you. This is our opportunity to share our gifts. It's the time we take to make a sacrifice on the behalf of all people around the world who can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge by means of internet teaching, or by means of face-to-face teaching, unless remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7, which says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his own heart, and not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
That was pretty good, thank you. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And even though it is free of charge, it is not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And as we've been studying Romans, it's pretty much an argument killer when you talk to people about what it is to get to know God. And, you know, that they always talk about religion, and religion has all its rules. And, you know, we first heard about the Mosaic Law, how it was brought into the world not to control people, but it was brought to flush out the fact that so we can't save ourselves. We're full of sin, and that's all we're going to do is break the law. And You know, Pastor said last week it was such a simple argument or such a simple presentation of the fact that we're going to break rules. There's laws against murder, yet there's still murders every day. You know, the law does not stop it. We see it in the Garden of Eden. They had one rule, don't eat of this plant. I mean, it must have been amazing, all these things to do, and they pick that one rule and they break it. It's such a, you know, it's a funny thing that we're just going to break rules. You know, or how about going to work, you know, be on time and we're a couple minutes late. Ah, it's no big deal. You just break the rules. But I think, you know, all of our studies point to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how did he break the rule? Well, the human life, when we die, we're dead, we're gone, we never come back. But Jesus broke that rule. He came back. He is risen. He's the best example of the fact that rules cannot hold anybody back. We're not going to abide by those rules. So I chose Romans chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him or us. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Oh, they're all both on there. So when you think about it, you know, we have rules in life and everything that we have to do. And you think about the fact that most people today are just at church for the first time all year, or maybe the second time because of Christmas. You know, and they should be going to church every day, but they break that rule. So we break the general rule of society where we go to church every day, we study every day, we're here every week. You know, we break the rules of society by giving our time, our talent, and our treasure to this place that helps get the gospel out to the world. So thank you for your constant support, and happy Resurrection Day.
Welcome back. Today's study on what foundation does your life rest? That's a serious question. You know, think about it for a second. When you look at people in the world, do you ever ask yourself that question? I wonder what foundation that person's life rests on. I ask that question all the time. The foundation of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my friend, and I am his. He is my go-to person. And a lot of that you can't see by looking at me. You can't. What you're going to see when you look at me is a normal, everyday human being who has normal, everyday feelings and normal, everyday thoughts just like you do. You can't look at me and tell that my total confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that anytime I face any situation in my life, it never rattles me because I know I'm on the rock. That's a silent and private part of myself. This is the public demonstration of it. But you can't look at me and tell that. And you can't look at me and tell that if we were in a crisis and you were panicking, that I would just hold your hand and I'd grab your shirt and I'd say, Father, I believe in Christ. Those five words will put you on a foundation, and then we'll go from there. See? And so even my customers in my regular business don't know why the things that we do together are so successful for them. Because they're built on a rock. A foundation that is lasting and enduring and valuable. And that's why I celebrate the resurrection. I am clear that my relationship with Christ makes me different. And I want you, if you have a relationship with Christ, to realize that that's what makes you different. And without him, I know that I am nothing. And as a matter of fact, he tells me that in John 15:5, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the vine, and you believers in Christ are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what? I'm at the point in my life where apart from me, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be apart from him. I don't want to do anything on my own. I've done enough things on my own. You know, that's the mantra of young people. I want to do it on my own. Well, okay, I got bad news for you. You aren't doing it on your own. Because if you're getting your rent paid for, you ain't doing jack on your own, okay? Just get that straight. Amen. And you ain't even got a job. Get that straight. Can you pray for my daughter? Amen. But you know, I understand the sentiment. It's a sentiment of independence. You know, we'd like to think that we stand on our own. We'd like to think we do things on our own. We'd like to pop our little merit badges on our chest every time we accomplish something in this life. But we're not doing anything on our own. We're not. You know, if you get a check, God has granted you that check and is asking you to be a good steward of it. So please don't get deluded into thinking you're doing anything on your own. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And we celebrate the Lord's resurrection from the dead today. And the resurrection says three very simple things to me. The first thing it says is it proves that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one who was promised to the Jewish people, and he came. He's the one who was promised to the Gentiles. And he came. That means he was promised to everyone, and he came. The second thing the resurrection means to me is that it sets the pattern for my life, both in the first phase of my life, which is salvation, and in the second phase of my life, which is called sanctification. What is salvation? I was born an unbeliever. I decided to believe in Christ. I am now saved. I have salvation. That step is done. I am saved once and for all time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ at a specific moment in time, and the result is he will save you forever. You don't do anything to save yourself. He then picks you up and puts you in the next phase of your life, which is called sanctification. You, as a believer in Christ, are set apart for a set of privileges, which if you tried to hold them in your head all at one time, would make your head explode. You're in union with Christ. You're reconciled. You have absolute righteousness. You are a saint. You are holy. You are blameless. You are justified. God the Father is walking through the halls of heaven announcing your name. You are indwelled by the entire Trinity. Need I go on? You're expiated, redeemed, reconciled. I could go on forever. If you tried to hold those things in your mind, it would make your head explode. Resurrection set the pattern for my life both to be saved and to be carried through this life by my God. Sanctification. And then this is the image that I see of that life of sanctification. The cross and the empty grave. And I want you to think about that. The cross and the empty grave. That's your life. You say, you call your friend and you say, I got a problem. That's the cross. And that problem looks so big that it doesn't look like you'll ever be able to solve it. How about those two thieves who were crucified next to Christ on the cross? They were guilty. They hung there. They knew what their fate was. Later that day, they were going to be dead. There was no way to get off that cross. That's the way it feels a lot of times when you have problems in your life. You're not going to be able to get off the cross. But then for Christians, there's an empty grave, and the empty grave represents deliverance. That every time you're on the cross and your power runs out, the Lord delivers you from every single situation, every single time. How much time do we spend biting on our knuckles, wondering if he's going to come through this time? He's not going to fail with you. You're not going to be the first Christian he fails with. I mean, think about my daughter. My daughter doesn't have a lick of athletic talent, yet she has a scholarship to 4-year basketball scholarship to a university. Amen? That's not exactly true. The girl's got a mean jumper. But you know what I mean? I mean, who is Alyssa Lopez? Who is she? You're not going to see her on any of the services. You know, oh, Alyssa Lopez, you know, climbing the charts to the number one in the world. You're not going to see her anywhere on there. Yet she's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She's on his chart. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. She's on his chart. So all of a sudden, magic things happen for her. And that's amazing. Things that aren't supposed to happen. Did you see it coming? Not anything she expected. That's how God works. The cross, it's never going to happen for me. To the empty grave, deliverance. Yes, sir. And then the third thing is, resurrection provides the power for a very bright future. So on what foundation does your life rest? You see, resurrection proves that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He fulfilled every scriptural promise that would help anyone recognize the Messiah, including the most important one. He rose from the dead. Now, I don't care what else he predicted. All right, he said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a one-horse town. It's a meaningless little city. Nobody cares about Bethlehem. It's in an area called Nazareth. And a guy, Nathan, said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I was thinking about my own life. You know, can anything good come out of 37th and Michigan in Chicago? I'm amazed at the life I have lived. I am amazed at what God has done. Now, what brother on 37th in Michigan was ever thinking about picking up a golf club? Right? I played golf. Brothers ain't thinking about playing nobody's golf. That was way before Tiger Woods. So I just am in awe. That's all you can say. I never saw the life that I have coming. Couldn't have seen it coming in a million years. That's how magnificent our Lord is. I saw a cross. My cross every day was just get home alive. I saw a cross, but I also saw an empty grave. I saw I'm not going to get a very good education to ending up at Northwestern University. A guy asked me, I went to college for 8 years, 4 years at Northwestern, 4 years at Southern Illinois University of Carbondale, the best radio TV program in the history of mankind, I guarantee it. And they asked me, how much did you pay for college? And I said, for 8 years of college, I paid $3,000. Somebody paid for me to go to college. I have no idea who it was. But I have paid that debt back multiple times. That was God delivering me. And that's the same thing he does for you. He delivers you. His resurrection from the dead is the biggest demonstration of divine power in divine history. Romans chapter 6, verse 9, you nailed it, Deacon Denny. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death is no longer a master over him. And if you rise from the dead, clearly death is no master over you. All believers in Christ are in union with Christ, and we will be raised from the dead one day in the future. And death is no longer a master over us. You know what your death is if you're a believer in Christ? Your death is like this. It's like you go in for a colonoscopy, and they put in a little thing into your arm, and they tell you, start counting down from 100, and you go, 100. You know, I woke up, and I said, wait a minute, man, I wasn't through. You get it? No. Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't wake up. I was out. That's what death is like. Only death isn't really like that, because when the needle goes into your arm and the drug starts going into your body, you're actually out. But that's not what happens when a Christian dies. When a Christian dies, we become absent from this body and face-to-face with the Lord forever in a place of no more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And he walks us in personal escort through our very own death-shadowed valley. And death is simply a shadow that we pass through hand in hand with the Lord until we get to eternity and get to heaven, where there is no need for sun or moon or any other light, because we are with the light. It's not something to be feared. It's something to be embraced. It's something to look forward to. It's something that will be tremendously enjoyable for the Christian, because death is not a master over us. Because of our union with the risen Christ, a gift that's given to every believer at the moment of salvation. Romans chapter 6, verse 5, if we believers in Christ have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and we have, certainly we shall also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. That is not just a future event. That's an event that happens every day in your life. That you have some kind of a problem that is a little death. You have some kind of a problem that is a little cross. And at the other end of it is an empty grave. If you've got children, you know what I mean, right? Because they are a cross for every one great event that happens with them, 1,000 lousy events. Amen? Amen? Right? And if they just gave you a book up front and said, okay, you're thinking about having a baby? I fully endorse it, but just read this book. And you open up the book and says, first page, don't do it! And, you know, unfortunately, you got women are the ones who have to have babies. They would go, oh, come on, they're so sweet. They're so precious. Thank God for women. Thank God for women, because if it wasn't for women, there'd be no color in the world. Everything would be brown, right? And nothing would be fun. But women, oh, let's bring one of them over here. I just watch these women. They got like 90 kids in the stroller and then one on their hip. And that's just awesome. One great moment for every 1,000 lousy moments. The cross. But the Lord delivers us to the empty grave. They get out after a while. That's awesome. Well, resurrection proves that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Take a 5-minute break. Do you? Thank you. Calm down. We're on time. Don't panic. I know you got a little party going after this. You know, you want to go out and do your little Easter egg hunt and everything. Today's study. Exactly. Today's study on what foundation does your life rest? So welcome back. Our foundation as Christians is the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, and more than anything else he did, his resurrection from the dead proves that he is Lord. Resurrection sets the pattern for our lives. Resurrection in the Bible is the Greek word anastasis, and here's what it means. It means to raise to life again, to rise from the dead. Anastasis, A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I-S. Now, for those of you Christians who are familiar with the next major event in divine history, which is called the rapture, that's the time when all believers will be plucked off the earth and placed in their very own resurrection body. And the Greek word for that event is exanastasis, the exit resurrection, to rise again from somewhere, and that for rising again from somewhere will be from the earth. Here's the way it's detailed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But that's Paul referring to himself, don't want you believers at Thessalonica to be uninformed, brethren, believers in Christ, about those who are asleep, those who are physically dead, so that you will not grieve as do the rest, a reference to unbelievers, who have no hope. We don't want you to grieve like the people grieve who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so God the Father will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who have physically died in union with Jesus Christ. My mother is one of those people. She is physically dead, but she is in union with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of God, and that means that we have something to have faith in, because the word of the Lord says it. God is giving his word on this matter. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are physically alive and remain on the earth until the coming of the Lord at the rapture will not precede in resurrection from the dead those who have fallen asleep, those who have died physically who are in union with Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in union with Christ will be resurrected first. Then we who are alive and remain on earth will be caught up together with them, those who are physically dead, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be face to face with the Lord. That's the next event in divine history. And so what that means is that one day, if you're a believer in Christ, you could be walking along, minding your own business, and just disappear from the earth and meet the Lord in the air in the clouds. You know, there's a movie based on this. What is it called? There's some movies, that whole book series.
Left Behind,
that's it, the Left Behind series. Well, there's another one coming out? Oh, The Mark, yeah. I think that was the name of one of the books in that series. But the biblical accuracy of it was probably about 75%. But it actually, I think the first movie describes and shows what they think the rapture will be like, right? So 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort each other with these words. So what is it that we should be comforted by? We should be comforted by the fact that we will be resurrected one day. And this coming of the Lord on the clouds is not his second coming. His second coming is that time when he actually touches down on the earth in the age after the age we're in, which is called the church age. So as believers in Christ, we have this thing called the Zoe life. It's the Greek word for the resurrection life. And it's a gift that we're given at the moment of salvation. It's also called the eternal life. It's a life with no beginning and no ending, and it's a life that we share because we have a relationship in union with Christ. And we will be resurrected from the dead and placed in a resurrection body at the rapture. Now, in the Zoe life, our life of sanctification, and Norbert, that body is not going to need a hearing aid. I just want you to know that. So you're going to be able to save a lot of money on batteries and stuff like that. Isn't that good? I am too. Look, I'm going to have a six-pack instead of a keg, too. I'm going to have actually, there are going to be muscles in my stomach area. Carlos, you know what I'm saying. You have those. I don't have those. So in the Zoe life, our life of sanctification, there is always resurrection, the cross to an empty grave. Well, how does that look? All right, well, let's say you want to buy a house. And you get that in your head, I want to buy a house, because you get tired of giving rent money to people. So you say, I want to buy a house. And then you look in your bank account, and maybe you don't have enough money in your bank account, or you go to, you know, those real estate agents. I wanted to call them a bad name, but I got a few friends who are real estate agents, so I can't do that. But you go to them, and they pre-qualify you before they qualify you, before the Duval qualification or whatever the stuff is they do. And you find out that it's tight, right? That's a cross. But God knows the desires of your heart, and he makes that thing possible for you, and then there's an empty grave. You see how it works in real life? That's how it works in real life. Those things aren't just coincidences. God knows what you need, and he wants to provide it. Things seem grim, and then it's delivered. This extreme of cross to open grave lets us know that God did the work. See, what the crosses are all about is that moment when you just feel like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do it. You know, after 10 years being divorced and sitting on my couch with a remote in my hand, having screwed up several relationships, I just told God, I said, you know what? If there's going to be a woman in my life, you better do it, because I guarantee you I cannot do it. I stink at this. And you could just hear the noise of God rubbing his hands together. All right, God, that's all I've been waiting for you. Just give me some permission and get out of the way. And Lila showed up a month later. Now, damn it! Excuse me, I had to cough. What did I do? It's like Romans 7:24. Wretched man that I am! Who will free me from the body of this death? God, why have you forsaken me? You got it. No, it's been fantastic. This has been fantastic. And you know why it's fantastic? Because I know exactly all the things that I hate about Lila. And I love them. All the things I hate about her, I love. When she does those things that I hate about her, I just look at it inside, I'm laughing. And I told her that yesterday. It cracks me up. And I know it's going to be okay. And that's a really pleasant feeling. It's just a feeling of extreme happiness to go from cross to empty grave over and over together quickly. Well, during that moment when we don't think we can do it, that's God saying, yeah, in your power, you can't do it. But divine power is perfected in human weakness, empty grave. So in letting this impossible situation take place, the Lord gets across to us slow learners that his work for us is a lot better than our work for ourselves and our working at things alone. Resurrection sets the pattern for our lives, the cross to the empty grave. Resurrection provides the power for our lives, and there's so many things revealed about it. The hardest lessons to write every year are these lessons and the Christmas lesson, because there's 20,000 hours of material, and you've only got 2 hours to do it. So there's so many things. Let's start with Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again." That means to go from spiritual death to spiritual life at the moment of salvation. "To a living hope." A living hope. Hope means absolute confidence. "To a living, absolute confidence through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." See, that's what made Buddha. And Jesus Christ, was Buddha raised from the dead? No. Joseph Smith and Jesus Christ, was Joseph Smith raised from the dead? No. He is a dead guy. Muhammad, did he get raised from the dead? No. Jesus Christ did. That's what separates Jesus Christ from everybody else. He is God, and he rose from the dead. The Pope is going to die. Jesus Christ is alive. My Redeemer lives. See, there's the difference. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, so that we can obtain an inheritance, the inheritance of salvation, which is imperishable, which is undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven." When God opens a door for you, no one can shut it. When God opens a door for you, no one can shut it. 1 Peter 1, 5, "who are protected," you, believers in Christ, "who are protected by the power of God the Father," that's called omnipotence, "through faith," through you simply placing your confidence in his power, "for a salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time." What does that mean? You know you're saved, but you don't have any idea how unbelievably beautiful that is and what that means. But you will. You will have every understanding of what it means to be redeemed, to be freed from the prison of spiritual death, to be reconciled, to be placed in a relationship that has no barriers with God, to be at peace with God where he has nothing against you. It's amazing what we have at our disposal. Ephesians talks about it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 21 says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened," that your heart in the frontal lobe of your brain has eyes. "I pray that they might be enlightened," that you might open up your eyes and know what is the hope of his calling, the absolute confidence of his invitation to you to be saved, and what are the glorious riches of his inheritance that he places in the saints. The minute you believe in Christ, he gives you an inheritance that staggers the imagination. Ephesians 1:19, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power?" That's called omnipotence. toward us who believe. God, if you're a believer in Christ, God is directing all of his power to you at all times. All he needs is your permission. How many times a day do you turn to him and give him permission? That's the question. Look, I can't do this. Can you do this for me? Why are you taking so long? Do it. Go boldly before the throne of grace. It's amazing what he does for us. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And guess who's seated at the right hand of God as well? You. Because you're in union with Christ and you're everywhere he is. And you don't know what that means, but you will, and the salvation to be revealed at the last time, you'll know what that means. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Here's what that says. Finally, my brethren, believers in Christ, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. Philippians 3, 2. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Beware of what? Beware that whenever you have unity, there's a group of people, our powers, principalities that want to see it ruined. There they are. What does God call them? Dogs, evil workers, false circumcision. For we believers in Christ, are the true circumcision. That's a Jewish reference. Who worship in the Spirit of God and who glory in union with Christ Jesus. We who put no confidence in the flesh. Every one of us as believers in Christ has a part of us called the flesh. That's the part of us that when it is talking, it is saying the meanest, cruelest, most horrible things. It hates you. It hates everybody around you. It's an asp. It's got a lousy tongue. It says all kind of stuff. It leads you into terrible situations. And then when you wake up to the fact, when the real you, which is not the flesh, wakes up to the fact that you've done that, all you can say is, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. What was I thinking? You weren't. The flesh was doing the thinking for you because you turned yourself over to it. You made yourself an instrument of the flesh. That's what's being discussed here. We place no confidence in the flesh because we know what the flesh is about. It hates God. It hates you. It hates everybody around you. It wants to destroy you. And it's going to be with you until this physical body dies. That's why this physical body dies, so that the flesh can die, because the flesh is not really you. Don't ever think that that's you when you turn into that person. Philippians 3, 4, although I, Paul, myself, might have confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul's going to bring out his resume. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. He's saying, I'm Michael Jordan. He's about to lay out the credentials. I was circumcised on the eighth day. That's what all Jewish boys have to go through, the ritual of circumcision on the eighth day. I am of the nation of Israel. I am Jewish. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. That's the bunch of badasses. A Hebrew of Hebrews. A Jew revered among the Jews. As to the Mosaic law, a Pharisee. 20 years minimum of study to be a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. His goal was to wipe out the Christian church single-handedly. He is the biggest murderer in the history of mankind. And he went from church to church, Christian church to Christian church, murdering men, women, and children on a daily basis to wipe out the Christian church. And as to the righteousness which was in the Mosaic law, found blameless. He's saying he kept every jot and tittle of the Mosaic law. He's lying. Philippians 3:7. But whatever things were gained to me, if that's my resume, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. What he said is, now that I've realized who Christ is, I realize I spent a lot of wasted time. No, he didn't. I was 21 years a Roman Catholic. I was 29 years in systematic theology. That's 50 years in stupidity. That was not a waste of my time. That has made me one of the best pastors in the world. It's given me a message to you that's so simple it's almost pathetic. Philippians 3:8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing's more important than Christ. Not things, not people, not money, not sex, not drugs, not rock and roll, not houses, not cars. This Lord for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, he was a very important person, and he gave up everything for Christ. And I count them but rubbish. What does that mean? Human excrement. That's what it means. So that I may gain Christ, Philippians 3:9, and may be found in union with him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, because you can't become righteous by following the law, but that righteousness which is obtained through faith alone in Christ alone, the righteousness which comes from God the Father on the basis of faith at the moment of salvation. At the moment of salvation, God gives you an admission ticket to heaven called absolute righteousness. There's no pearly gates, and St. Peter's not guarding it. Hey, Peter, can I get in or not? Okay, we're going to give you a test. Or who was in the refrigerator? You know, it's not like that. You have a stencil on your head, plus R, and it will be clearly visible that you are a believer in Christ. Your name will be written all over the halls of heaven. Everybody will know that you're supposed to be in heaven when you get there. And so we're found in him not to have a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that righteousness that is obtained through faith alone in Christ alone, the one that comes from God the Father on the basis of faith, that I may know Christ, and here's the payoff, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, because I am been conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead, that I may know Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may gain attain to the resurrection from the dead. What is the power of his resurrection? That you're going to be resurrected. Death is no longer a master over you. You're not under law, you're under grace. On what foundation does your life rest? See, there's just too much to say about resurrection. But suffice it to say that when your life rests on the foundation of the rock, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the rock gives you something to really look forward to. Of course, there is the alternative. If you reject a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ during your time on earth, you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. But be mindful of this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some count slowness. The Lord is not slow about the promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. But the Lord is patient to you, patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance, which is a change of mind about Christ. So if any creature ends up in the lake of fire, it is for one reason only. God did not damn you to hell because of your sin. No, that's not it. It's for one reason only, not because God wants them there. He doesn't. But they want nothing to do with God. And each person is free to decide that for himself. Honoring your request, you are abandoned by God the Father at your physical death. And all the wrath of God is poured out on you for all eternity because you rejected the perfect payment for your sins made by the Lord on your behalf on the cross, and instead decided to take on the punishment yourself. Luke chapter 13, verse 28 describes the lake of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are being cast out into the outer darkness. Ooh, who's in heaven? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of that line, the regenerate Jews. You deserve a better fate. Choose the resurrection life. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are three. Pay really a close attention to these three. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, the Zoe life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God the Father abides on him. Closing song, one June wrote in her new album, Demonstrated Love.
We've never known a love like God's love, a love that meets our deepest needs, a perfect love that's unconditional. The Savior came to set us free. Demonstrated love, pure and untainted love, that's never wavered love. He demonstrated love, uncomplicated love, that came to save us on the cross. Christ demonstrated fully man to show a love so kind and gentle, unfailing from the great I am, so we'd understand his love. He demonstrated love, pure and untainted. Demonstrated love, uncomplicated.
you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the chance to celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection of your Son. We are especially grateful for you raising him from the dead and loving us so unconditionally that you would even send him to a cross. And we just are very humbled by the fact that you think so much of us and that you've prepared such a great present, past, and future for us. And we just look forward to seeing all of your gifts unfold in the coming days. And we ask for your continued blessings, the blessings of adversity and prosperity that shape us into the people you want us to be. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Thank you. Elvis has left the building.